Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Tracy, who is here to speak with us about a recent article that she wrote for the Recording and Listening blog. Welcome, Tracy.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
So it was a fabulous article. I enjoyed it a lot. And I wonder if maybe you could start by telling us kind of the inspiration for where it came from and how you use recording and listening in that situation and that sort of thing.
Sure. The inspiration for the article was I visit my family around the Thanksgiving holiday each year, and the blog was about a reflection of how my visits have changed over the years. And in the blog, I was recalling a number of years ago, something happened. I have such a distinct memory of being in a hallway, having an interaction with someone, and feeling judged. Something came out of my mouth that was judging back. And I just in that moment had the just felt what that felt like to like, judge back, and felt how contracting and separating it felt, and in that moment I just realized like this isn't how I want to show up in this relationship.
And there's the power of awareness right there, huh? Wow.
There's the power of awareness and also the power of awareness is what's coming at me from someone else I have no control over. And yet how I show up in that I have all the control over, you know, as long as I have awareness of it. And I know through practice that, you know, a really easy fast track to connection is like staying in connected is to, you know, expand the container to something I appreciate. And so I made a conscious choice that whenever I felt, you know, that kind of contracting and what I quote unquote perceived to be judgment or that I was going to expand my perception to something I was grateful for in the moment.
Wow. So really concrete way to practice the shifting the attention.
Really a concrete way of practicing shifting the attention and using the tool that we use in practice of recording and listening to support the shifting of attention. And, you know, really beginning with, you know, anything that I appreciated in the moment and, you know, or anything that I was appreciating about, you know,
anything.
How I was showing up.
Anything.
Yeah.
There's a ray of sunshine over there. I can see it. It's off in the distance.
It is. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, and it's so amazing. And it's, you know, I see it all the time. It's so funny. As you were saying that, I was at a family function this weekend that I traveled to, and I can remember just being like, oh, my God, I'm tired, and I'm weary, and it's time to go. And then it's like, oh, my God, look at the moon, and look at all these people smiling. And, you know, talk about that moment of, like, you know, woe is me to, oh, my gosh, like, look where I am.
And, you know, Tracy, one of the things I appreciated about your article and what I'm hearing and what you're saying now is, so you're walking us through this really powerful awareness, right? So because of awareness practice, I project, you know, almost accidentally, quote, we have this really powerful moment of awareness. Like in a moment where we're not supposed to go to awareness, I project, we're trained to go to self-hate. Like, look at you. I mean, you're just as judgmental as they are, and da-da-da, right? But instead, there's this huge opening of awareness and presence which leads you to, wow, that's not how I want to be. And so that is so powerful. And such a pivotal point right there. And I feel like that's where recording and listening shines, because without that, it would be very, very hard to turn that around, even if we wanted to.
It's so true, Jen. And in that moment of feeling the contraction and having in the awareness of this isn't what I want, this isn't what I want, feeling things don't get in my body, I feel, removed mm-hmm. from the other person, and and we realize that, I don't know if it's cliche to say, but all we experience is ourselves. Like, they're going to do what they do, we get to still do what we do. Recording and listening is so simple, and it's so easy to stay in that. I think it's so habitual just to stay in that experience oh my God, I feel judged, and this is hard, and I don't mm-hmm. like how it feels, and my God, my mom's been, this has been happening mm-hmm. all these years, and woe is me, and mm-hmm. woe is me. And really using the recorder of bringing presence to what is occurring for this one, and mm-hmm. being able to be with whatever's going on, and in that practice of being with whatever's going on, then there is that ability to expand to, the gratitude. But really, you can't expand to that gratitude until you actually can be okay. with the person going on the experience. And that's that, correct. I don't know of any other way of recording and listening.
Yeah, truly. And so, Tracy, how might that look? So there's a person in a really challenging situation like that. I mean, family's a good one for just about everyone. How do you, in particular, how do you use the recorder to assist you?
So how I use the recorder, for example, I mentioned, I was just at a family function this weekend. So how I might use it is, say there's, something arising, and it wouldn't necessarily be what quote unquote I would want to do. And in the practice with recording and listening, there's always a place to direct the attention. So for example, it could be there's a number of different ways we can use the recorder. One example could be, going into a family function and deciding that I want to just be in enjoyment. And so I might sit quietly and just be with, what's my experience of enjoyment? Oh, my experience of enjoyment is, when I'm just available and smiling and open to the people around me, and, willing to just kind of go along with whatever, conversation being curious and, just enjoying, the atmosphere and whatever's happening and connecting with people and, where do I see, what makes people, come alive and talk conversation, whatever it is. And then I can listen to that recording and be reminded of how I want to be going into a family situation.
That's such a good example. So, there's the small eye over there deciding, well, I don't want to have a cocktail party. That's why can't we just go out and walk on the beach or whatever the thing would be. And then we realize, oh, right, everyone has their small preferences, and I'm part of a group here, and so I'm gonna do this. But I have complete say over the process that I practice. And so I love that image of, let's see, what? And it could be anything, right? I mean, that could be part of the fun of it. I think I'll choose enjoyment tonight. So I'm going to have all of my attention on enjoyment. So what I hear you saying is before the event, I might make, and it doesn't even, in my experience, it doesn't have to be long, but I'm going to make a recording that reminds me that I want to have my intention on enjoyment. And then I might, what, wear something or something that will remind me in the night or the, you know, in the time to turn my attention to enjoyment. The other funny image I had, Tracy, as you're talking, is, you know, phones are so much a part of our lives these days that so often it would be completely normal to say, you know what, oh, just, I'll be right back. I've got to take this phone call and listen to your one-minute recording to remind you of where you want your attention. You know, all these little ways to sort of steal off on your own just to have a tiny moment to bring you back.
That's so true. And then it's so fun to be able to, at the end of the evening, it's probably my favorite daily recording and listening practice is to make a recording of everything I just loved about the day. And then so when our attention is on enjoyment with whatever is going on, then, you know, when it goes to record in the evening about what was enjoyable, it's all right there.
Oh, that's so great. And in my experience, the more we do that, the more during the day it registers, oh, this is one of those places that I'm going to put this on my recording tonight. So now we're trained to watch for those places instead of the default ego training of watching for what's wrong and what doesn't work and what's not enough and too much. And
So, and Jen, I know we're at time, and my blog, I finished the blog saying that this family member said to me, I'm just watching you getting happier and happier over the years. Like, what are you doing? I want to do what you're doing. And so she took our recording and listening 6-week curriculum. And just as a person, you know, who is a grandma and has never meditated and has no awareness practice. And she said it was one of the best things she's ever done. And in layman's language, you know, she said, I've never looked at myself before, and I realize I like who I am. Going back to, you know, we project out towards other people, like our own reality, and for someone to actually go through our incredibly simplistic, through Living Compassion's incredibly simplistic recording and listening training that anyone can do, and to have the experience of like, oh, I actually like myself.
And how huge that is, because that's, you know, if a person's living in a world where they're not seeing that, that could create a lot of difficult things for that person and those around them. So that's just...
Exactly.
Yeah, that is so huge. Wow.
It's
very,
so
very
huge.
Inspiring.
Yeah, I just wish everyone knew about the Living Compassion 6-week experiential curriculum and would get all their family members to do it.
Right. Well, and I love what your story illustrates so beautifully is Gandhi's, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. Because there you are, diligently practicing. And then, and you know, you're not going around waving big flags, everyone needs to do this, everyone. But people notice because you are the change, you are the transformation. And so then they come to you, which really positions people to be able to take advantage of it in a way they're not, because we all know how that is. Come on, you have to do this. You really should do this. No, you have to. You should do this, right? It's a completely different experience than when we seek it out ourselves. So it's just such a beautiful story all the way around in that way.
Yes, and that we have something that's so simple for people to have their own direct experience, that it's not a concept. It's not we're trying to get them somewhere where they're not, that they can have a really fun experience and get to see for themselves how it really feels when we're directing attention to what is and what's right here in life that we often, we so often miss.
Yes, exactly so. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Jen.
Very fun.
Yeah.
All right.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take good care. Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Tracy. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you, and I want to talk about that. Do you have just a minute for us to talk about that?
Tell me.
Well, what Tracy articulated was an enormously important and for an awful lot of people, subtle. And one of the things I've been talking about in the email class is hidden in plain sight. It's a hidden in plain sight ego bamboozle, and here it is. So I've spent all of my life focused on other people, right? So I go to the family gathering, and I have to show up and be that person that they want me to be, expect me to be. If I'm going to, and sometimes that's a good, you know, a positive thing, and sometimes it's not, because different people play different roles in different families, right? But there's this whole focused on other people and what they want and what they, and so I get to the point where I don't want to do that. I don't want to focus on that. It's kind of what Jen said. You know, they all want to sit around and do whatever, and I want to walk on the beach. So I'm going to walk on the beach. And not only that, I'm going to point out to them that they should want to walk on the beach too, because that's a better thing to do, right? And so that's seen as progress. Okay, I'm not going to have an experience of them anymore. I'm going to have an experience of me. That's not progress. That's not progress. That's like going from one end of the ping pong table to the other end of the ping pong table and thinking you're playing a different game. Okay?
Yeah.
So what Tracy pointed at is, I don't go in there focused on them and what's wrong with them. I don't go in there focused on me and what's wrong with me. I'm not understanding them and trying to understand what their experience is so that I can fit in and be accepted or get the love I never got or whatever the story is. I'm not going in there focused on me to have my experience so that I can, whatever that is, okay? What Tracy said is, I'm going to go in there focused not on them, not on me, but on enjoyment.
Mm.
Goes right off of the duality, out of the duality, and into what's possible for us. Because, and it's not because. It's not that I need to enjoy them, or I need to enjoy myself.
Mm.
I need to focus on enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a completely different animal. And it's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we're going in practice. Because in that focusing on, and the phrasing of it at the end was, on what is. And enjoyment is just one word for what is. Right? There are hundreds of words for what is. Enjoyment is one. The process of life living, when we are focused on that, we can call it enjoyment. We could call it love. We could call it kindness. We could call it respect. We could call it, you know, just we could go on and on and on and on with words that we could use to describe the experience. But it's all the same experience. It's having attention on life instead of either those separate selves that are an illusion or this illusion of a separate self. Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's just enormous. And to hear it articulated so clearly in a real life situation, I could not resist drawing great big underlines, because that's where conditioning, ego, gets people. Hey, I'm not going to focus on them anymore. I'm going to focus on me. You might as well just keep focusing on them, right? Because it's all the exact same process, except The deadly part is that people will fall for focusing on me as a step forward. This is an improvement, mm-hmm. but of course, all it does is just put ego, it's like ego was driving an old Chevy and now it's driving a Tesla. Anyway, there's that. I hope other
wow.
people want to talk about that too, because boy, is that an important, just a critical aspect of practice to get.
Yeah, what dropped in as you were talking is it becomes a real focus on the process of what's going on rather than the content.
Yes, and the process of life. You know, the way Tracy laid it out, I don't need to be there any more than those other people need to be there. We could all just disappear, or we could all be there, or we could whatever. Because the important piece of it is focusing on enjoying life, focusing on enjoyment of life, not mm-hmm. me enjoying life or you enjoying life and hoping that you enjoy life because I'm enjoying life. It's focusing on enjoyment. And all of us become absolute irrelevant bit players, which, I understand, for a lot of people hearing that, it doesn't sound like good news. It is, right? It is, because it's the only way we'll ever have what we actually want. As long as there's a me involved, I'm never going to have what I want.
Yes.
That hangs together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Because I am dissatisfaction. I is dissatisfaction. Me is dissatisfaction. So to be an I or a me, to be going through life from that perspective, dooms me to suffering. There's no way around it. So awareness practice is giving up all of that, letting go all of that, so that we can step into what life actually is, which is joy.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I always say, no, when people ask me, I always say, no, I don't do Dharma talks. I don't do that. Maybe I'll get current, revise my thinking there, because boy, that kind of sounded like one, didn't it?
Yeah,
or
like Fervorino.
Or a rave. Fervorino. Yeah.
Fervorino. Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for that.
Oh, sure. Our pleasure. And I'm going to transition us into some announcements here, Sherry.
Oh, very good.
So for folks in the email class who are enjoying that and enjoying your responses, Sherry, we request that they send those in as Peace Quotes, their favorite lines from your responses in the email class.
Oh, good. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, the Fervorino in written form.
It lives on. Right.
Yes. Yes. And our year-long retreat on making a change for good will train us to look at a conditioned process from the vantage point of awareness in different content areas, finances, health, relationships, etc. And by looking at conditioned mind instead of through it, we can become clear about how not to believe the conversations that so often sabotage our best intentions.
Yes, and speaking of those people in the Socratic email class, I hope those people in particular, I mean, I hope everybody, I'm like Tracy, I wish everybody could do that or would do that 6-week RL curriculum, but those people who are already on this kind of roll that we're on in this email class, that year long is how we're going to continue it. So not to get talked out of doing that because, oh, well, you've done enough. I mean, you really were in the, don't fall for that.
Yeah, because we always need support. Always.
Always. Always. Everybody, always.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. March is a beautiful time to be at the monastery, and it has been designated as a month of quiet, intentional focus on practice. If you have ever been a visiting monk, you are welcome to come for any length of time, a week, 2 weeks, or the whole of March for this visiting monk intensive. Please email monastery-retreats@livingcompassion.org. for more information or to reserve a place.
And the good news about that, Michael, is that it is a relaxed intensive. You know, intensive can sound a little intimidating. It's like, ooh, you know, it was something being a visiting monk, and now we're going to have an intense version of that. But that's not true. That's not true. In fact, this is my intention anyway, is it's different from anything else that we do at the monastery. You know, in a lot of places, winter time will be a time of, well, it is kind of an intensive, but it's a practice intensive. So we're less focused on any kind of externals and more able to just be quiet and inwardly focused. And so that's our vision for this one. So don't get the idea that we're going to bring you there and work you to death, because that's not what's going on at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Bring conscious, compassionate awareness to your Saturday tasks or any project you choose at an at-home working meditation retreat on March 23rd. The day includes exercises, facilitated virtual discussions, mindful eating, and designated work periods.
That's so fun, isn't it? That's a blast from the past.
Yes,
do those all the time, right? We haven't done it in a long time. That's very fun.
Yeah, coming back is fun. And the Family Karma Retreat with you, Sherry, and Ashwini will help participants see how the story of me was created as karma and conditioning collided in family, and how this notion of self unconsciously operates. This retreat, April 15th through 20th in North Carolina, includes yoga, meditation, and guidance with you, Sherry.
In a beautiful spot.
In a beautiful spot at a beautiful time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, May 4th through 11th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week.
And talk about a beautiful spot at a beautiful time of year.
Yes, a lot of beautiful things happening in practice. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make guest show by pressing *6 and then 1. That will put you in the queue. And a 5-minute conversation that's focused on one topic would be great. Okay, Sherry, shall we
here
get
we go.
Started here? Okay,
yeah.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry Michael. It's Jeff in North Carolina, in the rain.
Oh, my goodness,
Jeff.
Is that what that is? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming down.
It's not actually coming down that much, but I forgot to take the speakerphone off, which I just did, so hopefully that's better.
I see. Yes, it does sound like you're in less of a storm now.
Good. That's great. It's pretty funny because I was so sure I was not going to get on. That's old story again in the mind. I would like to talk, as you suggested, about let's see, how is it? Let me see how I'm seeing it right now. The idea of focusing on life rather than any kind of me or they or she or he or anything like that. But the purity really of focusing on whatever it might be, some experience of life, and completely forgetting about any me or any story or anything. I really like that. I started doing it as you were talking about it, and I really like that idea completely. It's like it's the process with no object, you know, and no subject, just to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to focus on enjoyment, or I'm going to focus on gratitude, or I'm going to focus on love, or I'm going to focus on compassion or whatever. And just to have a good time with that.
There she is. Sherry, are you back?
There she is. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was just gone. So I apologize. So Jeff, I left you when you were looking at not being concerned about him or her or they or them or that, and just on an experience of life. Bad paraphrase.
Right.
But
okay. No, that's great. Yeah, exactly. So I was talking about no subject, no object, just the purity of focusing on enjoyment or compassion or loving kindness or whatever it is, gratitude. And I started doing it when you were talking about it. And now, you know, it's coming up again, just walking along here, and it automatically expands the awareness. And it just seems really, really fun.
Yes. And of course, what happens to people with that is that the ego comes in and says, but how do you ever get anything done? And it puts us in touch with the deep belief that we have that the ego is what does everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Gosh.
And it's deep in folks, right? So it's that voice in my head telling me I need to X, Y, Z, or this needs to, or I shouldn't have, or that conversation is what makes life happen.
Wow. That is right. That is so big. And it's because it's funny that we would end up talking about this, because it's very similar to what you said in your last email class response to me. I'm looking at things at school and teaching, and the belief that if I don't have my attention on getting things done, for instance, then things won't get done. I need to be like kind of locked down, really have some of my attention on that all the time. Or
tense.
Else.
Tense. Especially be tense, right? Because that's a big part of it. Because if you're not hunkered down and tense, then you're probably going to forget something. Something's going to fall through the cracks. You're gonna do something you shouldn't do. And what I'm describing is us being watched and controlled by ego. Which, by the way, not to this kind of thing I really didn't say to people, but it's probably how the kids feel when you're in that place.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, he's just,
God,
he just, you know, he walks like a hawk. You can't even breathe. You just got to eat, you know, and it's just, it just gets passed down.
Yeah, I think they do feel like that sometimes. Yeah, That is yeah, that's good. That's good to see.
They feel that way when you feel that way.
What's that?
They feel that way when you feel that way. When ego mm-hmm. is doing that to you, when it's got you mm-hmm. locked down and just being pushed, then it gets you to approach them in the same way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. A couple things about that. One is that, let's see if I can get that back. Just how it has me, and when I'm in that mode where it's really controlling the attention, how it has me focused on what I might label the negative, and certainly on control, in quotes.
Mm-hmm. There's something wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so it's interesting. A couple of things. One is that the other thing that occurred to me a little bit ago is it would be fun to, just say, well, let's just try this. Let's just see if that whole thing about getting things done, in quotes, is true. And so I'm just going to say, okay, well, what if I just focus on whatever it is, say love today, and just see how love does, in terms of managing the day and all of that sort of thing. And we could always say, okay, what if it didn't go well? Okay, well, it won't be a disaster, I'm sure, for one day or for a week or for a few weeks to give it a try. Let's give love a chance.
what we are deeply conditioned to believe is that love is not what's doing everything.
Right. Yeah.
The trees don't grow because all stuff and making themselves grow and blossom and fruit and all of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So deep belief that if we're not outside of life making things happen, mm-hmm. it won't work. That's what we're confronting. So you were next, and you were present, and you're right there with the kids with everything that needs to happen. Might you be more in tune with the moment, with the thing that to say that is really helpful to them, the thing that inspires and encourages them, that makes them want to do the work? Might that mm-hmm. be more available to you than if you're in this negative conversation with ego about what's wrong with you and what's wrong with them and how it needs to be different? Which might be more effective?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's so clear when I'm in the place that you're describing of, when I'm in that place of kind of, it doesn't matter what it gets labeled, but just the openness or the kindness or the presence or, there's an ability to be with and respond and be kind. But it's also still amazing that, how robust the belief has been when I'm in that, when I'm identified that, that this is, that kind
it's,
of,
it's not going to work. That's just
right.
Namby-pamby, Pollyanna, new age horse pucky. And what mm-hmm. you said is the whole deal. When you're identified, mm-hmm. when you're identified with ego and you're you, me, everybody, okay, you're not the only one, obviously. But when we're looking through the eyes of ego, we see ego's reality projected out there. So mm-hmm. of course, it's being projected out there. We see it out there. We believe it. It proves it. And then disidentify. Yeah. And the world doesn't look at all. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have, when I'm identified, well, the last thing, just, do you have a, what would I, what do, what would you suggest in terms that I practice with when I'm aware that I'm identified at school?
Well, Tracy and Jeff just went through this. Focus on anything that you appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're in the trenches, you might fight things. You know, you just start looking around. What do you appreciate? What's working? What's going well? What can you really enjoy right here in this moment? It's so-and-so doing whatever, and how great that is, and how much you love that quote, and whatever it is. When you do disidentify in that way, to take a moment and lock it in, you know, acknowledge, whoa, I was gone. And now I'm here, now I'm back, I'm disidentified, I'm going to stay here. I want to focus on enjoying this, on appreciating the kids, appreciating me, appreciating education. You know, I really want to be here for this and to enjoy it.
Mm,
and then go on
the
job. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Sherry. That is great.
Thank you, Jeff. Enjoy the rain.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Michael. Bye now.
You're welcome.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Sherry, your voice was breaking up a little bit in that conversation, and I'm wondering if you wanted to call back in while I run the sponsor ad here for a minute. Sherry, can you hear me?
Oh, dear. Well, we might actually have problems here. Yeah. I will. I'll call back in.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Sherry. Bye.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry.
How are we?
Oh, that sounds better.
Oh, good.
Loud and
well,
clear.
Let me know. I'll just keep calling in. I don't know what the deal is. We're not having any rain. It's actually kind of clear.
No snow.
Well, a little leftover. So I don't know what's going on. But anyway, let me know if it happens again.
Okay, you sound perfectly clear right now. So that.
Oh,
is
good.
Great.
Good.
Okay, and we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna calling from Seattle.
Well, hello there.
Hello. Wow.
What's going
so
on?
Thankful to be talking with you guys again.
Good. Good. It's good to hear from you.
What's going on? Oh, yeah. I had. So I really learned how great it is to set intentions. And how powerful it is to set intentions. I just really had a direct experience of that last weekend.
Uh-huh.
You know, I ask for nothing short of enlightenment. So I really had an enlightenment while you know, going to kirtan, singing. I said, oh, I really want a heart. My intention is to have a really heart-opening experience and you know, I even, funnily enough, said enlightenment. That's so funny. And, well, then I, oh my gosh, I can't focus right now. 1 minute. Then,
what happened? May I comment on that before you go on to your next thing? Okay?
Yeah.
Because what I would suggest is that setting that intention is a moment of enlightenment.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah? Because you were already having the experience you wanted to have, which is what caused you to ask for the experience.
And of course, I'm indigenous in between because ego is like that. But what happened? I'm trying to remember now what happened. So it was kind of a concert, everybody singing and chanting mantras, mm-hmm. and, you know, really fun. Mm-hmm. And I just had a direct experience how all of that was happening for me. I mean, that sounds silly now, but I just really felt it, and it was just so heart opening. I just knew that.
Can I ask you this? If we phrase that, rather than it was all for you, it was all happening in you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Isn't that more what it felt like?
Yes, it did.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because you were right there. You were right there with nothing separating you from that experience. There wasn't a you outside of the experience having the experience. There was just that.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had another, I just wanted to do a really great energy medicine, you know, energy session with somebody, and I haven't had a lot of practice doing it because, I don't know, I was always kind of afraid of it or kind of didn't really feel like doing it because, you know, I had a lot of nervousness about it.
Because you were listening to a lot of voices cause you to be doubtful and feel like you were inadequate. Uh-huh. Got it. Very different from the kirtan. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. But I also set an intention, I mean, which I have done before as well. It's not like a new thing, but but now I'm just doing it more regularly. So I did a really great, I mean, not I, but a really great session happened, and I just followed the energy, and it was just great. It was so easy. I mean, so simple, and there was no nervousness needed. I just followed the energy, and I knew I could do it.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Was it a feeling that you actually weren't there? There was just the energy?
Yes, probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't a self-consciousness. There wasn't me working with the energy, me following the energy, right? Just disappeared. There was just following the energy. So we could say following the energy was following the energy, or energy was following the energy, or however we wanted to try to point at an experience where you're not self-consciously, as ego, there making it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, just the experience of adequacy. And and then, but I don't know how Well, I guess that's the same. So, yeah, I also had an experience of how intensely I do feel, and now I don't know, I mean, since there are no other people, but that many times when I do feel other people's energy, and, I mean, yeah, so how does that fit in? I know that's true because I had an experience that told me that. Just one that really went, was very clear. This is
that. And what was it that you got out of that?
I just got confidence from that. Just, okay, this, I just got the knowledge from that it's not my energy. I mean, that my fear went away, because I think in that moment when I really knew, okay, that's
So let me try this one on you, okay? Try this one. So you are with somebody else. Another person.
Yeah.
And you're just there. You're not listening to a story about you in relation to them.
Mm.
And so you could just be with whatever was going on with them. You didn't need to make it about you.
Yeah. When the fear went away, you know, when I felt, in that moment, I felt actually the blurriness of the other person, I think.
You felt the what?
I mean, the whatever the energy was in their brain is what I felt in that moment. And, But I didn't get afraid in that moment. And
you just had an intuitive sense of what was going on with them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Now, again,
but
usually I
would just feel it then and get afraid, because then I can't think right, you know? I mean, and many times it's my own, I mean, in quotes, my own blurriness.
Right.
Whatever.
That's right.
But in that moment, I knew it wasn't.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things that I just beat on constantly is ego is fear. Fear is ego. When we feel fear, it is ego's fear that we are feeling. Ego uses its fear to control us.
Yeah.
Right? Which is what you're describing. So you are with somebody. You have an intuitive sense of what's going on with them. Ego jumps in with a fear reaction, and everything becomes about you shutting down and being paralyzed and all that sort of thing. When you didn't respond in that way, There was no ego reaction. You didn't feel any fear. You were simply able to be present with the intuitive sensing about the other person.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was really freeing.
Yeah, oh, really freeing. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I just have one little caution for you here, okay? One little encouragement. And that is, don't get attached to any of it.
Okay?
Because, and here's the because of that. Because what ego is going to need to do to get a grip on you again at this juncture is to get you to be attached to having intentions and having them come true.
Mm.
Or being able to be in any circumstance and not having ego jump in and make you afraid and shut you down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
so
I fell yesterday, and I mean, yeah, I'm not attached.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. When it happens, it happens. It's wonderful. It's because ego isn't there, and wonderful things happen when ego isn't there. And so to keep a focus on just simply being present to whatever it is, and open to all of the changes that can happen to you. Just enjoying them, saying yes, thank you to whatever it is, doing your part, you show up. You know what you are going to look for. Right? Again, it's back to Tracy talking about enjoyment. So you go there and you want to have, I'm open to a heart-opening experience here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we ask for what we want. Doesn't mean we're going to get it, but there's no reason for us not to ask.
Yeah. So also it is kind of for each and every one of us because, you know, the things happen that we need to wake up. So it is kind
exactly.
of happening to us.
Yes.
Or
yes. Yes, exactly. As is falling.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I embrace it.
Yeah. Yeah, because what we're learning not to do is have ego divide life up into this is good, that's bad, this is right, this is wrong. I want that. I don't want, when we're not in that dualistic dividing the world up, everything is for our enlightenment and we can see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
No.
Well, I'm very, very happy for you.
Thank you. So I'll need people to wake me up because I don't want to expect it, but I don't know what's going to happen.
But
next.
You're open.
Yeah.
You're going to stay open, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Carol from Port Townsend. And
hello,
Carol.
I'm happy to be on the air. It's so funny, as I'm listening, you know, to see if I'm getting called upon or not, my heart kind of speeds up, and every time I don't get called on, the ego says, it's not really worth the aggravation, is it, to go through all this heart beating, calming down, heart beating, calming down with everyone. So that's kind
and
of
what is And what is the message that it's saying to you? What do you take from that? It's not really worth it. Why get your heart rate up or?
Yeah, because of the anxiety and the nervousness, just to get the nervousness, here I am nervous and it's not doing anything for me, you know, there's no result, you know, so.
Well, you're really alive.
I am really alive, and that's what I call about. I'm really alive.
So, yeah, it's exciting.
Yes, it is. So there's so many things. Let's see. Well, I guess I'll talk about the year-long retreat we're going to start. Well, last year I did it as well, and I had some struggle around it because it was like, oh, God, it's 9. I want to get up and meditate. I want to eat breakfast, take a shower. It was just like all jumbled up and kind of like a time crunch. So what I have decided to do and what I'm doing is I'm setting my alarm at 7 every morning and getting up. And what this means
you'll
is that
you'll be all ready for the monastery.
I'll be ready for the monastery, but it means
training up.
So I've been doing that, and so I get up, I have time to meditate, I take a shower, I have time for breakfast, and it's not even 9, you know, or maybe even 8. And so I just have this wonderful feeling of spaciousness and
it's the best. Isn't
not
it?
That we've got to rush, got to be ready at 9. This is kind of a problem and kind of annoying, you know. So I'm just so happy that I'm doing this.
Are you getting to bed early enough so that you get plenty of nice sleep?
I'm getting better at that. And one of the things that's motivating me is when I've been at the monastery, at times I have never felt more rested and more awake when I wake up. And that has just been so precious. And I thought, I want that in my life. So I'm practicing doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm
good.
Really, really...
And I'm with you. I love that spaciousness, getting up in time that everything is done, and it just feels like step into the day just ready to go.
Yeah, I really love it. Yeah. And here's another thing. So at the New Year's retreat, I heard the monks talking about the love, writing a love letter to themselves every night.
Yes, that's what Ashwini got us all started on.
So I started that on January 1st. So every night I do that, and then I record it, and every morning I listen, and I think it's just been phenomenal. I mean, beyond phenomenal.
More. That's 6 weeks. More than six weeks already.
Yes, it is. It's really easy to write the letters. Which was just, oh my gosh, it's easy to write these letters, you know. And it's not about, oh, I did this good thing. It's, I don't know what it's about, just more of the how, you know. So it's really, really easy. And then when it's hard or I was identified a lot that day, you know, the letter can just be, I love you no matter what, or I love you no matter what you think, what you do, what you feel, what you believe, every moment of every day.
Practicing unconditional love.
And
I project that that's a tremendous disidentification, right? There's no danger that you're going to go from day to day identified with something. Right? Because... at the end of the day, you do this great disidentifying exercise in the morning.
You
listen to the recording that you made. So you end the day disidentified. You could start the day disidentified.
Yeah.
Very supportive.
Right. I know. And I'm in this group, this conscious communication group, and I told everyone about it, and they were just kind of like floored or astounded or something. Why? A person could write a love letter to themselves every day, you know? So,
and isn't that a sad comment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is. And I imagine most people would have a hard time imagining writing a love letter to a loved one every day.
Oh, yeah.
That would just be over the top. But then yourself?
Right.
Wow. Now that's, and of course there's no way to tell anybody how transformative it is, right? You just have to have the experience.
Yeah, well, everyone's seeing all the changes in me and opening up and things. And so I just decided that I want to die loving myself. You know, I don't want to spend these last few decades, whatever it is, you know, and... Yeah. So I just want to,
The time is now.
The time is now, yeah. It's kind of like, it's interesting how I hear so many things, you know, like treasure yourself. Okay, right, yeah, treasure yourself. But now it's like I'm having the experience of that. So I'm just grateful for all the repetition, even though sometimes why are people saying the same things over and over again? And then it just hits me, and I have the experience, and it's a whole different
thing. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. As somebody who just says the same thing over and over and over and over and over, you know, knowing that after a while people are just cringing with, oh, my God, if she says that another time, I'm going to have to slit my throat. And yet, that's exactly it, isn't it? It just, you think we get it. I think I get it. I know, I get it. Yeah, treasure yourself. And then all of a sudden, one day you go, oh, oh, that's what that means.
Right. So it's really good. It's really good. Many times,
Yes, because the secret of that in awareness practice is ego doesn't want to hear it in the first place, right? Ego really doesn't want to hear it two or three times. And when we get up to a dozen or 20 times, it's just rolling its eyes and carrying on. But when we know the experience, we can't hear it or say it too often. Because every time we hear it, every time we say it, we go to the experience and we love the experience.
Right. That is so true. That is so precious and so true. Yeah. So now when I hear it in the morning radio show, it'll just be, I'll have that experience.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I love about the one that you picked, Treasure Yourself, is that that actually came from Dogen. You know, sometimes people think we're a little out there in the New Age brand of Buddhism, but actually we're not. That was advice from Dogen, who's the big light of the type of Zen that we practice. That was his encouragement to people. Treasure yourself. I love it. Makes me so happy.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. We're going to start that daily show on the 4th or the 5th or something like that of March. Not that far in the future. We're all going to be happy to be here and go happying and treasuring ourselves and all those things that we do for another year.
That's great.
All right. Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. Sherry, I love that focus on repetition. And that quote about if we lose the spirit of repetition, our practice will suffer or something along those lines.
Yes, exactly. Wow. And with what we were just talking about, we really know that, right? If the repetition of our practice doesn't remain new for us, then we'll get unhappy.
I missed a word there. If the practice doesn't become new, did you say?
It doesn't remain new for us. If the repetition of our practice doesn't remain, it's like with meditation, it's up to us to get into the present so that our meditation is always new. If we turn it over to ego, it'll become, oh, no, not that again. I've done that so long, and nothing has happened, and blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Right? And so with that repetition, staying new to the repetition is what we're going for.
Yes. And what dropped in as you were talking is that it seems that it was through repetition that conditioning became established within me. And so I need to bring a practice of repetition to go beyond that.
Yes. Excellent point. That we learn to use for us what conditioning uses against us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So good. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, and thank everyone. It was a fabulous show, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
Me too.
And don't forget to treasure yourself.
Yes, exactly. Go happy and treasure yourself. Exactly. So. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Jerry. Good night.